The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
It's God's command for us to launch out into the deep. And it's our responsibility to know how, to launch out. And God's given us some tips, some lessons in His Word from one of my favorite chapters. I love this chapter in His Word, Psalm 37. It's so rich in the wisdom that it gives to us. And we'll read verse number 1 down through verse number 6. Verse number 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless this time of study around His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You unworthy. Father, we come before You needy people. And Lord, this year we're trying to launch out spiritually. And Lord, we cannot do that without principles from Your Word, without Your help. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will speak individually to those that are here tonight that have open hearts for You. And I pray that You'll do a work that no man could ever do. And Lord, convict us individually, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we read these words, they were written about 1000 BC, and King David's on the throne, of course, the author of this psalm, and we see how his kingdom's flourishing and how the Iron Age is booming, a discovery that took place in his kingdom, and it's really changing really a lot of things on the earth at that time, and yet that is only mentioned 5 times in the Psalms. His legacy was not any discovery or anything that happened during his kingdom politically or any discovery. Really, his legacy was his life, and it was the lessons that he left for us. For over 1,000 times in the Psalms, he mentions wisdom and instruction. And some of the Psalms are weeping Psalms. Some of the Psalms are worship Psalms. But this Psalm is a wisdom Psalm. And it is a Psalm that was written most likely to his son Solomon. And he really wanted him to get it. He wanted him to remember this Psalm. He wanted him to really grasp onto this and never forget it. And so he made it into an acrostic. And this is one of few Psalms that are an acrostic in the Hebrew language. Every 2 sentences in Hebrew, it's a word picture. And it uses all 22 consonants of Hebrew. And basically, it's just an easy way for the Hebrew people to remember it. He also put this to music. And although the tune is lost, the truths remain. And we want to see 3 lessons tonight from this rich chapter for launching out spiritually. And first of all, we see that we need to first depend on the captain. Any launch needs dependence on a captain. Trust in the Lord and do good. David was pleading with his son to not fret, for fret is the opposite of faith. And faith cures all fretting. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." You know, that word fret means to be upset or to be frustrated. And it's so easily in this day and age to watch the news and just for everything around us to get frustrated and to say, what in the world is this world coming to? And how am I supposed to feel safe? And how are my children supposed to be safe? It's also a very easy day and age to envy. It's easy to look at someone at work and say, why did he get the promotion when really he's a wicked man and I'm the Christian? And how come my neighbor's family seems fine and they never mind the things of God? But this chapter is so clear, just to depend on the captain. Don't worry about what the evildoers are doing. Don't worry about what's out there. We know the world's bad, but depend on the captain. May we depend on him. No matter how rough the waves get in this world, and no matter how much the tempest of this life seems to leave the evil untouched, may we depend on Him. So what does it mean to depend on God? Well, let's look at this and dive a little deeper, because it first says trust in the Lord, and we first need to depend in our attitude, because attitude proclaims trust. It's the attitude that proclaims our trust. This word trust is the Hebrew word betach, and it literally means to hope rather than belief. Many times when it says trust in the Bible, it's talking about belief in God. But this is talking about hope. It's a word picture of someone clinging on to something, a tight grip on God. As a sailor would grasp the mast of a ship in the midst of a storm, we should be holding on to God through every moment of every day. David talked much about this in Psalm, all throughout the Psalm, Psalm 7 and verse 1. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In thee do I put my trust, David said. Blessed is the man that maketh his trust in the Lord. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. Our attitude toward the things of God really indicates our dependence on God himself. If you want to gauge your attitude of trust to God tonight, a perfect question to ask is this. When was the last time you went to God in sorrow or success? You went to him first before you went to anyone else. When was the last time you took things to God before you took things in your own hands? You see, the breath of dependence is prayer. And in this day and age, when so many avenues of technology are in our lives and there's so many ways we can get information, let us first turn to God and let us understand that our attitude is shown by, secondly, our actions. Actions prove trust. We can have an attitude of trust and say we trust in God, but many times our actions deny these claims. And actions prove our trust. Trust in the Lord and do good. Many institutions, particularly educational institutions, have made the Latin phrase "provido in altum" their motto, their theme, and it is our theme this year: launch forward into the deep. And although that's been a catchy theme for many different institutions, if that's all it is, if this year Lancaster Baptist Church is launching out in theme only, we failed. Because launch out into the deep was something that Jesus Christ is requiring of us for action, not just in attitude, not just saying, I trust you, but in action, telling God what our trust and dependence is in. Launch out. Let our faith have action. James 2:17 says, even so faith, if it be without works, is dead, being alone. And we must show God our actions and prove to God our dependence by our actions. I'll never forget being a sophomore in high school and working up in St. Paul, Minneapolis, about 5 or 6 hours from where I lived in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And I had to take a Greyhound. I'm not sure why I chose Greyhound. It probably would have been even cheaper to fly, but it was the first time I just decided, hey, I'm just going to take a Greyhound bus. By the way, that was the last time I decided to take a Greyhound bus. But in nothing against Greyhound, if you work for Greyhound, it was just a bad experience on my part. But I remember sitting down, getting my ticket, sitting down, eating some breakfast, and I just so happened to sit across from the driver that would be driving my bus. We ate breakfast together, talked, and at the very end he said, well, I'll see you in a few minutes. Our bus is out door number one, and he pointed all the way to the left. And so I finished my breakfast, and I started toward the doors, and I looked at my ticket as I was approaching the doors, and it said, your bus will be, you know, it said bus number, and then departing from door number six. And immediately I thought, you know, this guy just didn't have the right information. I'm sure he was wrong. And I got on the bus outside door number six, like it said on my ticket. And I waited and waited. And finally another driver came on and I said right away, well, you know, I'm sure he was just not feeling well. That's why he told me the wrong door. And so we, you know, I got on the bus and the different driver came on. And we were almost outside of St. Paul when she came over the loudspeaker in the bus and said, well, we're en route to our 10-hour trip to Omaha, Nebraska. And I immediately, you know, being a sophomore in high school, just played it cool. And I tapped the guy next to me. I said, did she just say Omaha, Nebraska? And he said, yeah. And I got my stuff together. And I went to the front of the bus. And as I was exiting the bus, unkind things were exiting the mouths of those that were on the bus. And they were throwing things, and I'll never forget walking back to the station. They were kind enough to let me do that. And I got back to the station, and for 8 hours, I waited there for the next bus. And the whole time, I came to this conclusion. I'm an idiot. And then I came to the conclusion, why didn't I listen to the captain? Why didn't I just listen to what he was telling me? He had the up-to-date information. He had everything I needed to, go the right way. Why didn't I just listen to him? And I can imagine someone the last few weeks thinking about this theme, launch out. And I can imagine you thinking, doesn't God know that I'm already at max capacity? I'm already launching out. I mean, there's no way I could launch further into the deep. And let me just encourage you, depend on the captain. Depend on God. Trust in Him. He knows your situation. And let's do some good. Let's work His plan. His plan works. We just have to work it. And let's launch out. Let's use the kind of faith that launches out before we figure out how it's going to turn out. Let's do the possible and let the impossible be done by God. Trust in the Lord and do good. C.H. Spurgeon said, note the double precept, trust and do. This is the true order. The two must go together. One produces, the other proves, and the promise is to both. And I want you to look in your Bible because there is a promise to both of these. Trust in the Lord and do good. What will that be met by? Well, when we're trusting God and doing good, it will be met by stability. Thou shalt dwell on the land and substance. Verily thou shalt be filled. And you know, Fed, you may not see everything come to you extended by a divine hand. But I promise you this, Christian. Nothing will be withheld from you that you need from that divine hand. God will take care of you. And God is your shepherd. You shall not want. You're never wanting something. So depend on the captain. God is trustworthy. You can depend on Him. Secondly, delight in the compass. Delight in the compass. Delight thyself also in the Lord, verse 4 says, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This word delight is the Hebrew word anag. It means to be easily joyful or to be, it's the same root word as to be pliable. It's the exact same word that's used in Job when Job talks about the behemoth bending his tail around the cedar. It means to be bent toward. And God wants our hearts to be bent toward Him. He wants our hearts to be easily inclined to Him. You know, as we sit here tonight, all of our hearts are alike. David said in Psalm 33, verse 15, He fashioned our hearts alike, and He considereth all of our works. And when it comes to the Christian life, we all have two compasses. One points to God, and the other points to self. And when you're using a compass, of course, we all know that you're aligning the ship's position based on the position of north. And when we're delighting in God, we're aligning our desires based on God's desires. God is asking you in this verse to have an unnatural excitement for Him. Simply put, your faith should be fun. We ought to be having a good time serving the Lord. We ought to be excited about the things of God. And God wants us to experience extreme fulfillment in Him. But often, we don't give Him the chance. C.S. Lewis said, we are far too easily pleased. We have filled the secret places of our hearts with the things of this world. And God calls out to us in this verse and says, choose me over your flesh. For your flesh, letter A, leads to error. The bearing of our life is found in the battle of our delights. And many times, horizontal happiness conjures up and will foster spiritual harm. It is our own appetites that lead us to err and lead us astray. I was a sophomore in college here at West Coast, and I was driving down 40th to J, and I got to the stop sign right out here, and all of a sudden, the whole east side went black, and I thought, that's strange. There's not a cloud in the sky, and, you know, I wasn't sure what happened. I got back to campus, and as I got back to campus, there was a police officer a few moments later that arrived, and three of our rather moronic of the students hopped out of the car, and they're jumping up and down, and they're high-fiving, and they're so happy, and I thought, what in the world's going on? This police officer is driving away shaking his head. And I found out later that they had made a quick run to Taco Bell, and that's where they went wrong right off the bat. And they went to Taco Bell and they got some dinner, and they were on their way back and they decided to take Lancaster Boulevard. Now, I don't know about you, I take Lancaster Boulevard to and from church. And riding down Lancaster Boulevard or driving down Lancaster Boulevard is somewhere between riding in a four-wheeler or riding a bull. It's terrible. I don't know if you've been on it, but it's terrible. It's up and down. I mean, it might as well be a dirt road. And they were you know, riding down, and the driver of the car was eating a taco, and some of the contents of his Del Taco taco dropped onto his leg, and he commenced to start licking it off his leg while driving on Lancaster Boulevard. And you know the end of the story. He drove off. Now listen, I wouldn't be so hard on him if he was licking off, I mean, cheese and onions from a double-double, or, you know, something that dropped from a burrito from Chipotle. I mean, then I'd be, but I mean, Taco Bell. But anyway, he drives off, he clips the pole, and thus the power outage. His immediate appetite brought him an extreme circumstance. And it is our immediate fleshly appetites that many times bring spiritual extreme circumstances. And on the road of life, it is when our face is downward, it is when our eyes are other in other places other than in Christ and Christ alone, and that is when we are veered off, when we are misdirected and find ourselves in the horrible ditch of sin. And when it comes to our desires, they are bent towards self. We find ourselves always seeking new fulfillments in self. If I only had that new phone, if I only had that new car, if I just had that position at work, then I would be happy. And then those things come and they leave us with little fulfillment. Our desires are evil at the core. Our natural moral compass is at the very core corrupt. God talked about this in Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man in the earth was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And left to ourselves, our natural desires deceive us. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of my desires. I need new desires. And I'm so glad this verse isn't saying, if I delight in the Lord, he will give me my desires. I don't want my desires. This verse is saying that if I delight in the Lord, he'll give me his desires. Look at the next letter B. Not only will the flesh lead to error, but thankfully the Father leads to enjoyment. With our Heavenly Father, we can experience new desires. When we delight in God, God gives us his desires as our own. John Bunyan said, the desires of God and the desires of the righteous agree in one. They are of one mind in their desires. So are you like me? Are you sick and tired of your desires? Or is it a daily struggle just to forget the flesh and look toward the Heavenly Father? Well, let me ask you this. Have you made God your delight? If you delight in him, you won't have these unsanctified, inordinate desires. And if we make the Lord the chief longing of our affection and the chief object of our longing, then we won't have those desires. God wants to fulfill us beyond anything we've ever known. But we have to delight in him. So let me just ask you, are you excited about launching out this year? Are you pumped about coming to church and learning more about God? Are you excited every morning to get up and spend time with God? Are you serving with an overwhelming heart of joy? When you do things for God and you don't delight, God notices. I want you to look in your notes at Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47. It says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies with which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and wickedness and nakedness and in want of all things, and shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with thanksgiving and singing and don't come with your bad mood. God wants you, but he wants you in a good mood. David said in Psalm 43 and verse 4, then will I go into the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I delight to do thy will," David said, "O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." So are you thrilled about the things of God? Are you thrilled about following the compass that God's given us? If not, may we place our desires on the altar of His will. God wants to reward your delight by giving you His desires. And could it be said of you like it was said of Luther? He would. He could have anything that the Almighty would. John Wesley said, "Give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and we will shake the world for Christ." John Pennington said, "All the desires of natural man shall burn and perish, but all the desires of the Spirit of God rest in satisfaction forever." So depend on the captain. That's the first lesson of launching out spiritually. Depend on the captain. This is how we view and what we do for God. Delight in the compass. This is how we feel about the things of God. And then finally, decide on the course. And this is what God can do in and through us. Look at it. It says in verse number 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Now, I love the fact that this word commit is not a matter of self-will. This is not a word that says you have to daily just work up determination to keep committing your way to God, and if you just keep doing that, He'll do it. No, the word is actually a merchant term. It means to roll. It means to roll something that is on you onto something or someone that is more powerful than yourself. And God wants us to come to His Word and come to His house and not just roll stuff onto ourselves again and just be burdened about serving. But no, He wants us to come to His house and come to His Word and roll off our burdens and roll off our way and roll off those things that are weighing us down. Many times I hear Christians say, "Well, I'll just let the Lord have His way." And I understand what they're saying, but really, the matter of the fact is God will have His way. Really, what we should say is that we'll just let God have our way. Let God have your way. And when you let God have your way, He'll bring it to pass. Let God have the way you think. Let God have the way you talk. Let God have the way you give. Let God have the way you worship. And God will do so many great things. You shouldn't want your way. So how do we decide on this course? How do we decide we're going in the direction of God? Well, first, we set the direction. We set the direction. An aimless launch is a hopeless launch. And although we cannot choose our consequences, we can choose our direction. And so the task is to assign our actions before it's time to act. In sailing, there's something called directional light, and it used to be where a captain would put a narrow beam of light in the direction that he wanted his crew to take the ship in, and they would follow that directional light. And God is wanting us to use His Word as a spiritual directional light so that we can follow it for our spiritual direction. Our prayer should be, "God, I acknowledge You. Please direct my steps." Someone once said, "I do not wish to step, dear Lord, where I wish to step, but where You would have me place my foot." It is a matter of accepting God's way daily with no desire to draw back on it. David said, "The law of His God is in His heart. None of His steps shall slide. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way." Amidst the Civil War, Herodias Bonar said this, "Thy way not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. O Lord, lead me by thine own right hand, choose out thy path for me. Smooth let it be or rough, it will still be the best. Winding or straight, it matters not, it leads me to thy rest. I dare not choose my own lot, I would not if I might. But choose thou for me, O my God, that I may walk aright." To set the direction does not mean you are setting the direction. It's a matter of aligning your delight and your dependence on one person, amen, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Once we have aligned that, we can leave the destination up to God. And here's my favorite part about this passage of Scripture. All of the verses in Psalm 37, I love this phrase above all, and that is, commit thy way into the Lord, and then this is my favorite phrase, and He will bring it to pass. You know, we spend a lot of our time just worried and fretting and upset and stressed about things coming to pass. We're worried about our so many of our circumstances. And friend, if you will delight in Him and depend on Him and set your direction toward Him, you can let Him bring it to pass. Let Him bring a happy marriage to pass, and let Him bring obedient children to pass, and let Him bring joy where there was no joy, and love when it seems lost, and let Him bring peace where there seems to be no peace, and let Him bring it to pass. That's the beauty of committing your way. You're rolling it off of yourself onto Him. May we do that tonight. Mark the perfect man, David said. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Many Christians ask the question in their hearts, am I sure that the road of the Christian life will come out in the right place? And the answer is, the arrival is always awesome when you're positioned and you're running on the road of God's purpose. And when we pray, God, whatever comes, I take it from You. We are seeing the world totally different than the average person. See, Christians do not reason in what they see, but in what God says. We reason not in what we see, but in what God says. We do not launch based on what we can comprehend. We do not launch based on what is really apparent to us. We do not launch in our own understanding. We do not launch in our own power. We launch based on what He says, based on His word. At His word, we launch. As one pastor put it, never put a question mark where God has put a period. Never put a question mark where God has put a period. Let's not question. And if you have, let's stop questioning God's command to launch. And let's start carrying it out. On July 12th, 1776, while most of the Royal Navy was docked along the eastern coast of the United States, someone else launched with a completely different mission. Captain James Cook and his ships launched for the Pacific to find a Northwest Passage. He'd already had two amazing voyages and was already known among his peers as one of the greatest explorers to ever set sail. He had discovered the fertile eastern coast of Australia and had put New Zealand on the map and had discovered Tahiti and the Christmas Island and the Sandwich Islands, which would later be called the Hawaiian Islands, and some great discoveries. But he was not just known for his discoveries. He was known for his amazing ability to command a ship and to keep his sailors alive. He had certain things that he did that later the Royal Navy would find out and they would implement through all the other ships and in all the other voyages. But as the third voyage was concluded and he was actually beat to death on the Hawaiian Islands, you got to watch those Hawaiians. As his crew came back to England, they were writing about the great captain that they were able to serve under. And several of them had the same thing to say, but one put it this way. He said, under the flag of Captain James Cook, every day was Sunday. Every day was Sunday. And I got to thinking about this. How, in practical terms, can we put depending on God and launching out, how can we put this in a practical way that we can remember it and understand it and put it to work? And I'd just like to implore you tonight, make every day Sunday. See, God doesn't want just your delight and your praise. God doesn't just want your burdens to be lifted on Sunday and Wednesday. God doesn't just want you to come into this building and to fill your head with knowledge and not do anything about it. God wants you to live every day like it's the last, to live every day like it's Sunday. And Captain James Cook was able to find great discoveries and able to do great things. And I believe it was because he had a heart for the Word of God and delight in the things of God. And his crew depended on him because he made every day Sunday. Every day he'd read the Word of God to his crew. And every day it was real to him. And if it's real to you, will you depend on God? Will you delight in Him? Now, I can't guarantee you'll discover lush islands and fertile coasts, but I do guarantee this, that you will discover true, overflowing fulfillment that only God can give. And I really believe that as you depend on God and delight in God and decide that every step this year belongs to Him, that the discoveries He will bring to pass will be greater than anything you could ever imagine. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And God, it just overwhelms us that You would give us the opportunity to worship You and to serve You. God, we're excited about launching out this year. We're thrilled that You're doing something in our midst. And Father, I ask that You will help each person here, Lord, to make a note of how they could make every day Sunday, and that how they could make every day a day of dependence and delight in You. Lord, bless us as we put this into our hearts and lives, I pray.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share it with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.